Well, good morning, Emmanuel. Well, this being Confirmation Day, I don't think we could have picked a better passage than what we're going to be looking at this morning. We're going through a sermon series on Psalm 23, and today it's verse 4. Maybe you've memorized. I don't want to have a show of hand, but I know some of you have already memorized Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And then here in verse 4, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. I say this is good for the confirmands. It's good for all of us. Because truth be told, not all of life is lived on mountaintops. Most of life is lived in valleys. And confirmands, I want you to know that your God is a God of the valley too. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Did you know that there is actually, and it's right there on the screen, that's the valley of the shadow of death in Israel. It's 300 feet tall, and it's actually, in some places, 800 feet. And light can only reach the bottom at noon. All the other times, if you're walking down 800 feet below the top, all you see are shadows. David probably walked it many, many times. And when we talk about valleys in the Bible, it's a metaphor for difficult times. We all love mountaintop experiences, don't we? And yet valleys seem to rule the day more often than not. As a matter of fact, if I think back on my life, I think it's basically been valleys. My first call was to the Red River Valley, Fargo, North Dakota. Then I went to the Pomona Valley, Pomona. Then I went to the San Fernando Valley. And now for 20-some years, guess where I am? Where you are. Central Valley. We're living in the valley. Now, I don't know what kind of valley you might be going through right now. And maybe it's a financial valley. You don't have a job. You're between jobs. You're stuck in a job you don't like. Or maybe you're in a relational valley. And you're having a tough time right now. You're trying to get together with somebody and make a go of it and get married, or you have a marriage that is stuck, or you need to find somebody in your life, or maybe you're going through a valley of disease or sickness or estrangement or grief. At one time or another, all of us walk through valleys. So maybe the very first thing we should do this morning is to take a look at something about valleys. And the first thing to note is that we all know that valleys are a part of life. They're part of life. They're inevitable. They come to all of us. We experience them. We experience defeat. We experience disappointment and bereavement and disturbances and depression. And Deuteronomy 11:11 says, the promised land you're about to enter is a land of hills and what? And valleys. Secondly, valleys happen to everybody. It's not just you. Everybody faces valleys. Psalm 34 says, the good man does not escape all troubles. He has them too. You remember when Jesus says the rain falls on the just and on the unjust alike. Elsewhere in Scripture you would say, it is through much tribulation that you enter into the kingdom of heaven. Things happen to all of us. It doesn't mean we're good or we're bad. We're all under indictment because we're fallen creatures and there are valleys in all of our lives. Number three, valleys are unpredictable. Oh, I would love it if I could choose when I'm going to go into a valley. Lord, I got 2 weeks here, not too much on the calendar. You can throw a valley at me right now because I got time for it. But that's not how it works, isn't it? Your hills and mountains can turn to valleys in a split second. You're walking along and you trip a half inch and you break your ankle, you break your leg. And you go from sunshine to valley in one split second. Someone sends you a letter or an email or shames you online, and you go from being happy to being depressed. You can go from one extreme to another so fast. You're healthy, and all of a sudden, you've got some disease, and you don't know if you're going to get cured. And it can go from one way or another. An accident, an unkind word, a slight, sudden pain. Proverbs 27 says, don't ever brag about tomorrow, since you don't know what the day will bring forth. And while all of our valleys are unpredictable, some of them are indispensable. They're inevitable in life. I want to list some of the valleys. I did a contextual study of the Bible, and in the land of Israel, I found all kinds of valleys that were there. There are hills, too, and that's another sermon. But here are some valleys that are in the nation of Israel. The first one is the Valley of Siddim. Listen to what it says about the Valley of Siddim in Genesis 14. This is near the Dead Sea. Now, this valley was full of sticky tar pits. When the kings of Sodom and Gomorrah, which were the two cities that were destroyed by God and are probably under the Dead Sea right now, when the kings of Sodom and Gomorrah tried to run away from the battle, they slipped and fell and got stuck in those tar pits. So the invaders plundered the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah, and they took everything they had, and they captured Abraham's nephew, Lot, who was living in Sodom. Now, I'm not going to go into the story of Abraham, except to say that he went back, he rescued his nephew, Lot, and he took the plunder and restored it to the kings of Sodom and Gomorrah. But how many times haven't we shirked our duties or responsibilities, and we just kind of running away and not thinking where we're going, we end up in worse doo-doo than we did before. And we're stuck in the tar pits. Maybe you've tried running away from something, and then you slip and fall, and then you find yourself now in a situation where you're stuck. You're stuck, and you don't know how you're going to get out of this. You're stuck right now. The valley is a slimy, dark, tar pit area where you stumble and fall. And this is what you write down in your notes. Siddim is the valley of failure where you slip, fall, and get stuck. And that's going to happen sometimes in our life. We have failures. We don't live up to our responsibilities. We don't take ownership of our situation. And then we get stuck. So the question is, what are we running away from this morning? What is it that we're afraid to face head on? Is it that conflict at home? Is it that boss that you really need to have a word with, but you don't want to because maybe you're going to lose your job or get demoted? What is your slimy tar pit? For some people, it might be the bar, the nightclub. You may be addicted. You may be drinking too much or abusing substances too much, and you're stuck. And you don't know how to get out of it. For some of you who travel a lot, it might be your motel room and what goes on in that motel room. I'll tell you this. It doesn't matter what you're stuck at. It doesn't matter how far deep you are in the tar pit. You have a God who can deliver you. You have a God who cares for you and has come in the form of Jesus Christ to lift you out of the pit and to give you freedom again. Here's another one. It's called the Valley of Eshkol. Eshkol is a valley in Numbers chapter 13. And that's the story when Moses sends out spies. 12 spies are all listed. The book of Numbers, two of them are Caleb and Joshua. And the 12 spies go into the promised land through the Valley of Eshkol. And what do they see? They see all these huge grapes, these big pomegranates. They see all everything. This is what it says. It is indeed a magnificent country, rich and fertile. And people are very powerful there. And it says, but the people living there are powerful and they're stronger than we, and they look like giants to us. And in our own eyes, we felt as small as grasshoppers next to them. And so the majority report, 10 out of 12, They had a little governance board meeting. 10 out of 12 of them said, we're not going into the promised land because they're going to nuke us. They're going to take, we'll never make it. And so that is what happened. They did not go into the promised land because of fear. That's the meaning of the Valley of Eshkol. It's the valley of fear. And because they did not trust God to deliver them in the Valley of Eshkol and go into the promised land, because they failed the test, God sent a judgment upon them. And for 40 years, that entire generation did not live to see the promised land. How do you know if you're in the Valley of Eshkol? Well, answer me. When you look at a glass, do you see it half full or half empty? Do you see reward or are you blinded by risk? Only two saw it as an opportunity. The Valley of Elah, many times. So we fail that in the Valley of Eshkol. Now here's the third one, the Valley of Elah. Valley of Elah is in 1 Samuel chapter 17. And you're going to go through this valley many times in your life too. The Valley of Elah is going to be when you're facing a giant challenge in your life. Valley of Elah is where a young shepherd boy named David met Goliath of the Philistines. And the young shepherd boy was to bring provisions for his older brothers on the camp as they were fighting the war against the Philistines. But there was a guy in the Philistines by the name of Goliath. And he was 9 feet tall, the tallest man who's ever lived. His spear was like an oak tree. And every day, morning and evening, he would come out before the armies of Israel and he would say, I defy you. Send me a champion. Send me someone who will fight the war with me. And whoever wins the fight will win the war. And nobody in all of Israel was willing to go against Goliath. Saul was the king, and he was the tallest man around, but he was cowering in a tent, afraid of Goliath. And then one day, the young shepherd boy, David, the very man who later would write this 23rd song, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want, this very boy who had lived out under the stars and in solitude, had fought the bear and fought the lion, with nobody else looking except his faith in God, heard that giant speak and went to King Saul and asked the question, who's defying the armies of the Lord God? And Saul and them said, it is Goliath. He's the biggest, the meanest man who has ever existed. Nobody can defeat him. And David said, take me to him. I'll fight the giant. And you know the outcome of the story. The young David, your age, with a little slingshot, defeated the giant because he had faith and didn't let fear overwhelm him. Here's one more. The Valley of Baca. Valley of Baca. It's mentioned in Psalm 84. Again, just picking a few out of many valleys. You can do a study in your Bible of valleys. It means to weep. Now, the pilgrims would always go through the Valley of Baca on their way to Jerusalem. And the Valley of Baca was not a nice place. It was very dry, barren, and desolate. And as people were going to Jerusalem, they would tend to weep until their tears would dry up as they thought about Jerusalem and entering into the temple area. Psalm 85 says this, blessed are those whose strength comes from the Lord. As they pass through the Valley of Baca, they make it a place of springs. What? This is a barren, destitute place. They make it a place of springs? All of a sudden, water is showing up? As they pass through this dry, arid Valley of Baca, weeping, they make it a place of springs, and the autumn rains cover it with pools, and they go from strength to strength, growing until each appears before God in Zion. Have you ever been there? No feeling. I'm dried up. I have no emotion left. I'm sapped. I'm tired. I'm depressed. Maybe I'm grieving. I may be weeping inside. I'm grieving a loss. I'm going through the valley of Baca. But the kind of people God wants us to be, wants me to be, wants you to be, is that we make it a place of springs, that water comes when we show up, that we move from strength to strength, that we go from levels of maturity to levels of maturity, that we show the living water that we believe in, that we let it come through us. The power of the Holy Spirit comes through us and bubbles up within us. And we come alive again to the whole matter of our faith and our and what we're all about until the living water of Christ seeps through every pore and every orifice of our being until the water goes out of us and goes throughout the whole valley that we're living in. And people can't help but notice who we believe in as we move from levels of maturity to levels of maturity. The level of Baca is a valley of grief and barrenness where we ask God to come in and his living water to give us life again. But we need to remember when we're going through a valley in our life, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me, is this, I'm not alone. In any valley you go through in your life, no matter what happens to you, and I don't know what's going to happen, good things are going to happen and not so good things are going to happen, God will be with you wherever you go. You're not alone. God is with you. Two words. When I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Through and you. Those are the two key words. When you're going through the valley of the shadow of death, and that's the one valley all of us are going to go through, every one of us is going to face death. As we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, we will fear no evil. Why? We don't stay in the valley. We're going through it. What's on the other side? Something better than this side. We go through it, we are with the Lord in heaven. And then the word you. You don't do it alone. God is with you in every step in your ordeal. You and through. And one more thing. Notice it says you walk through the valley of the what? Shadow of death. Not death. Death has been erased for the Christian. When Jesus Christ died on the cross, he erased death. How do I know that? Because he rose from the dead. He overcame death. And because he overcame eternal death from God, all we have left is a shadow. Now, I don't know about you, but I'd rather face a shadow than the real thing. If I'm walking down the street, and here comes a big truck, and it's toward the end of the day, and the shadow of the truck runs over me, how's that going to work? If the shadow of a truck runs over you, how are you going to feel? It's not going to affect you too much, right? Would you rather be run over by a shadow of a truck or the truck? Shadows can't hurt you. Then why are you afraid? Why are you afraid of death when it's only the shadow that's coming your way? If you fear death, it's because you're afraid of shadows. The shadow haunts you. Fear is always greater, an image without substance. That's what a shadow is. But here's the thing about a shadow. You cannot have a shadow without a light source. And if you are in the valley and you're facing the shadow, my advice to you as your pastor, turn around and look to the light source. Because you can't have a shadow without the light source. Jesus says, I am the light of the world. He who believes in me shall not walk in darkness. He who believes in me will not stumble in darkness. I am the light of the world. Confirmands, all of you, whom I love and have prayed for these many years. Keep your eyes on the light until that day when all you see around you is the unapproachable light, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen. Let's rise and join together in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the light that you've given to Alexis and Gabriel and Riley and Daniel, that they have confirmed this day in the rite of confirmation. Be with them and keep them strong all their days, pointed to you as the light in their life. Thank you too, O Lord, for delivering Elaine from this kingdom of grace to your kingdom of glory in heaven. That now she's surrounded with angels and archangels, and they are all the company of heaven, glorifying you and magnifying your name. Be with the family as they mourn her loss, and yet may they not grieve as others who have no hope. Lord, we've looked at your word today and come to see many valleys, valleys that we may be in and will be in again. At times we know we've tried to run from something to avoid a battle. We've slipped and we've fallen and we've gotten stuck. Heavenly Father, we sometimes fail to take a risk or move forward, and we retreat in defeat. Heavenly Father, we face giant problems, and we may be facing them now. Lord God, there are times in our life when we feel all dried up, barren, arid, no pulse, or I'm weeping, I'm grieving, I'm in the valley of grief and barrenness. Help me to remember I'm not alone, that when I go through it, you go with me and you'll be with me. Help me to turn around, Heavenly Father, and take the bad things in my life and make them and use them for good. And when I start to get fatigued and the tunnel seems long and the valley seems dark, help me to remember that the reward will last forever and the present troubles are really very small and not going to last long, but they're producing an eternal glory that will last forever, and it's greater than anything we can imagine. Lord Jesus, today I'm asking you to be my good shepherd. Allow me to take the hands off the wheel of my life, and you sit in the driver's seat. You be the director and manager. I thank you, God. I thank you that you are not just the God of mountains, but you're the God of valleys too, the God of my valleys. And I honor you. And I want to love you the rest of my life. Amen.